Well, good morning. Isaiah 64, verse 8. But now, Lord, you are our Father, we are the clay, and you are potter, and all we are the work of your hand. You are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter, and all we are the work of your hand. Is that true in your life? Think about this. When you look in the mirror, who do you see? Do you ever want to change who you see? Now, I don't mean what you see. I didn't say what you see. I'm not talking about the makeup and the war paint, ladies, or the beards or the mustaches, men. I'm talking about who you see. Do you ever want to change who you see in the mirror? I believe every one of us has something that we want to change or we'd like to see change. And we talk about change, but are we willing? Are we willing to? I believe there are three reasons that change doesn't happen. The first one is we try to make change on our own. We try to change something in our life with our own power, our own strength, our own ability, our own thoughts, our own ways. God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts and my ways are not your ways. The second one, I believe, is when God starts the process of change, we refuse to endure it. We refuse to endure it because endure literally means sacrifice. I believe we're not willing sometimes to endure the process of change that God is trying to take us through. Because it requires sacrifice. It requires endurance. It requires trusting the process. And then I believe the third reason that we don't change is because we just don't want to change. Some of us just don't want to change. We're stuck in our wounds, and we're used to it. We don't know how to live without it. Or we don't want to find out how to live without it. We're stuck in our ways. We want to keep things the way we want. And so we just refuse to change. Isaiah 65 and verse 2, God said through the prophet, I have stretched out my hands all day long to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good according to their own thoughts. God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. Rebellious people. Are you rebellious? You see, God normally doesn't really normally just do an extreme makeover all at once. He starts in one place, and he works on that one place, and then he moves to another. And he does that so that change is not temporary, but that change becomes permanent. It's a process. Are you willing to change? Jeremiah chapter 9. Verse 23, beginning in verse 23. Thus says the Lord. The Lord is speaking through the prophet. These are God's words, not the prophet's words. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might or his strength. Nor let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, says the Lord. That I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, which means justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, nor the mighty man in his might, the rich man in his riches. You see, the word glory means to celebrate proudly or boast. Celebrate proudly or boast. Do you boast in your wisdom? Do you boast in your strength? Do you boast in your wealth or your riches? I think a lot of people do. You see, we can be doing good things for the wrong reason or the wrong motive or with the wrong spirit. Jeremiah 17, verse 5, tells us, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes his flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. Cursed is the man who trusts in man. Do you trust in yourself? Do you trust in your ability, your wisdom, your knowledge, your accomplishments? Your possessions? Cursed is a man who trusts in man. Do you depend on yourself and your own ability, your own strength to get it done and make things happen? Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength. Flesh is simply you. It's carnal. It's worldly. And he said, whose heart departs from the Lord. You see, when we trust in people as our source, when we depend on ourselves and our strength, our heart is separating from God. And we're setting up for failure. We're setting up for failure. We think of pride as something as just boastful and fleshly, but you know you can have spiritual pride. You can be spiritually arrogant. You lead somebody to the Lord, you help them pray to receive Christ, and do you tell people about it and tell people about it and tell people about it? You may have led them to Jesus, but guess what? You didn't save them, Jesus did. It can be very subtle. It can be very subtle. But when we're trusting in people or ourselves, our heart is slowly, subtly separating from God, and we're setting ourselves up for failure. I want you to watch this video. And it intros with a man by the name of Tommy. And as you watch this video, I want you to stay with it. I want you to put yourself in Tommy's place.
Ephesians 2:10 says that we are God's workmanship, His masterpiece. I don't know about you, but when I get up in the morning and look in the mirror, I don't really see a masterpiece, you know? I mean, maybe a Picasso. It's like, but I want to be His masterpiece. I want to be everything He created me to be. And so I go to Him in prayer and I say, Dear Heavenly Father, do whatever it takes to mold me into the image of Your Son. Make me Your masterpiece. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hi.
Whoa. Who are you?
I'm God. You said the prayer, so here I am.
You're not God.
No, I am. You said the prayer. That's how it works.
Okay. If you're God, then make it snow in here.
You know what? I really don't want to make it snow in here because it'd get kind of yucky.
Yeah, you're not God.
Why do you say that?
God wouldn't say yucky.
I do. It's a Greek word.
Oh. Okay. If you're God, what does Lamentations 15:9 say?
Lamentations is only 5 chapters. It's a very short book.
Oh. Why was it so short?
I was tired of lamenting.
Oh. Okay. If you're God, who's going to win the World Series this year?
I'm really not into playing games. Why are you so much into playing games?
You are God.
What gave it away?
You answered my question with a question.
I did? Yeah, I do that, don't I? I did it again. Step right up. Here we go.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, what are we doing?
I'm going to make you into my original masterpiece. This is the process.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Yeah.
Wait. What are these about?
These are the tools I'm going to use to make you into my original masterpiece.
Okay. Yeah. Hang on.
Yeah.
I thought you were a carpenter.
That's my son. Step right up. Here we go.
Okay. Oh, hey, God.
Mm-hmm.
How do you know what to chisel away and what to leave?
I take out everything in your life that doesn't belong there, kind of like dead weight.
Ooh, speaking of dead weight, could you chisel right here? It showed up when I was in my 20s and grew around and became back fat. I don't even know why you created that, but I can't get rid of it. I mean, I've tried everything. Like, I tried running, I tried lifting weights. My wife actually talked me into trying Pilates. That was awkward. But I can't get rid of it. So if you would just chisel around here, and then, you know what, if you chisel a line right here and maybe 4 to 5, maybe 8 lines right here, that would be awesome.
You're funny.
You made me that way.
I also made the platypus.
The platypus?
All I'm saying is most of my children, when it comes to this process, they just want to talk, but they don't want to do the work. So do you want to talk or can I chisel? Talk, chisel,
no,
talk,
no,
chisel.
No. I choose to chisel.
All right. Through my Holy Spirit, I'm going to bring up things in your life that I want you to work on. Like your anger. I created the emotion, but you use it in the wrong way. You compare yourself to others instead of me. You tell little white lies because you want to people please. You're lazy. But you try to fool everybody by looking really, really busy. You have a problem with lust? Well,
time out. I don't really have a problem with lust.
You don't have a problem with lust.
No, I can do it anytime I want. Hang on a second. I mean, I got to admit, I feel like you've been doing some great work, and I'm looking pretty good right now.
All right, when you look in the mirror, who do you see?
I see me.
Okay, then I need to keep chiseling away because ultimately you and other people need to see my son.
Okay, don't misunderstand me. It's just when I look more like Jesus, people get uncomfortable around me. I mean, even my church friends, and they're like, oh, you're holier than thou, you know? And I don't think I'm supposed to make people uncomfortable.
So what you're saying is you'd rather play God in certain areas of your life than for me to be God over your whole life.
That is not what I said.
It's what you meant.
Yes, it is. It's hard to talk to you. You know everything that I'm thinking. I'm just saying you've done some great work. Maybe we take a break, a sabbatical from each other, you know. I'll stay right here and then, you
know. That's just it. You never just stay right there. You're either moving toward me or away from me, but never you just stay. What you're doing is called control. Do you want to control things or life or can I chisel? Control, chisel, control,
no, chisel. No, chisel.
All right.
But can we chisel where I want?
That's called control.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Now this right here, this secret sin that you keep running to whenever you're hurting, angry, lonely, tired, that you think you're fooling everybody, but it's making you a whitewashed tomb. Are you ready for me to chisel this out of your life?
Yeah.
You see, it's a process. It's not a sprint, it's a marathon. It's your whole life. And you care so deeply about what other people think of you. It's rubbish. It's garbage. The greatest thing you're ever going to hear is at the end of your life when you hear me say, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what you keep your eye on. That's the prize. Heavenward.
Oh, that hurts.
Oh, trust me. This hurts me more than it hurts you.
Right. Okay. I'm sorry. I don't think you understand this pain.
Pardon me?
You're asking me to sacrifice a lot, God.
Don't talk to me about sacrifice. I know all about sacrifice. I sent my son to die on the cross for pain, for sin, but I also did it for another reason, to give you freedom. Do you know what insanity is? Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting different results. And there are things that you've been doing for years, these empty wells that don't have anything to offer. You've been going to them and it's insane. Allow me to chisel them out of your life. Allow me to produce character where you keep focusing so much on your image.
Okay, but I was thinking.
Your thoughts are not my thoughts.
Okay, but if we went another way.
Your ways are not my ways.
Oh, I can't.
You can't what?
I can't be good.
That's your excuse. That's your excuse, is that you can't be good.
It's not an excuse. I can't.
Oh, my child. In the beginning, I said it was good. I made you good. Be good.
Yeah. But you and I both...
What?
Nothing.
No, what is it?
Nothing, okay? You wouldn't understand.
I, God of all the universe, wouldn't understand something one of my children has to say. Try me.
It's just, I let you down so many times, God.
No, my child. You were never holding me up. I hold you up with my victorious, righteous right hand. Never the other way around. In this relationship, I hold you up.
Okay. Chisel away. Just be prepared for what you're going to find in there. Because I know who's inside there. Because I get up every morning and I look at him in the mirror and I hate who I see. Because deep inside there, this little kid who gets up every morning and dresses like an adult. And I go out and I try to do what I'm supposed to do, but I can't, okay? I can't be who everybody else expects me to be. God, I can't even be who I want to be, much less who you created me to be. And so inside is this scared, stupid little kid. But you chisel away. Just be prepared.
You have listened to so many voices for far too long that were not from me. And you have totally bought into the lie, haven't you? You think you're junk, don't you? When you lay your head down at night after you've done the dance to get the hug, you think you're junk. Listen to me. I don't take time to make junk. How can I show you that my love for you stretches as far as the east to the west? How can I show you that my love for you has no end? I know. Reach in your back pocket.
What?
Reach in your back pocket.
Why?
Are you arguing with me? Reach in your back pocket.
Oh, God.
Yes?
I just meant, God, I'll do that right now.
You're just saying my name in vain.
Come on. It's a name. It's a saying.
It's a name above all names. It's more than a saying. It's more than a name. I want to teach you something about my name. Reach in your back pocket.
Oh, my God.
You know what that is?
Yeah, it's a note. I wrote it when I was in college. How did you get this?
Hello?
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead, read it.
I love Angie.
Other side.
Sorry. Dear God, did I hear you right today? Did I hear you say that you love me? Even though you and I both know I've messed up so many times. Did I hear you say you want to use me? And I feel so useless. If you'll take me and use me, then God, I give you all that I am. Take me. I love you, God.
I love you too. And I love you too much just to leave you where you're at. This salvation that you hold, I don't want it to be some sentimental gush or some head knowledge. I want you to work it out in every detail of your life. And when problems come and chaos happens, don't look at it as a prison, but look at it as a father disciplines his child. A father disciplines the ones he loves.
I know, but it's going to be tough.
Yes, but you bought into the lie thinking everything was going to be easy when you gave everything over to me. There will be trouble in this world. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I want you to do something. I want you to look out there and I want you to say, Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Tommy is God's...
No, not the way you see yourself or you try so desperately for others to see you, but maybe for the first time in your life, the way I see you, the way I created you.
Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Yes, you are.
And so are you. God doesn't make junk. You are an original masterpiece.
Anything familiar in that? See, God wants to take everything out of your life that doesn't belong there. Do you think you look pretty good compared to others when you compare? Are you afraid to get too spiritual because it'll make others uncomfortable around you? Do you play God over certain areas of your life? You want Him to be God here, but not there. How often do you take a break from God? When's the last time you really read your Bible, really dug in and studied your Bible? When's the last time that you got by yourself and just prayed and spent time with the Lord? When's the last time you had a decision to make and you let Him make the decision? How much time do you spend trying to control things in your life? To protect your wounds that you think nobody can see, to protect your feelings because you don't want to get hurt? How often do you control things to get what you need, what you want? What is your secret sin? How much do you worry about what others think, and you make decisions based on that? Are you a people pleaser so you can avoid conflict? Do you want freedom? Real freedom? Are you willing to change? Is your excuse for not changing is that you just can't? What voices have you been listening to? Do you use God's name in vain? What lies are you believing? You can't, you won't, you never will, you're not good enough. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Are you digging empty wells that hold nothing? What are you willing to sacrifice, to give up, so that change can come? You see, we can talk about change, but are you willing to endure the process? Jeremiah 18, beginning in verse 1. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Remember, the prophets only spoke what God spoke to them. The word came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words." Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of, clay was marred in the hand of the potter, meaning ruined. And so he made it again into another vessel as it seemed good for the potter to make. You may think, as you sit here today, that your life is ruined. But I'm here to tell you, God is remaking it into what he knows is best. It may not look like it. You may not understand it. You may not get what he's doing. But if you'll trust the process, he will. And change can happen. Change can come. Verse 5, then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand." That's all he wants. Just put yourself in his hands and let him do the work. Maybe you think your life's ruined and it's all messed up, but I'm telling you, he's making it over again. He's making it different, and he's making it new. Amen. But you have to put yourself on the potter's wheel. You have to put yourself in his hands. And then you have to trust his process. Maybe you thought your life was great, and then it turned upside down. Maybe because change was needed. Are you clay in his hands? Are you a rock that he has to chisel and chisel and chisel? Jeremiah 17:10 says this, "I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. I, the Lord, test the heart, even to every man according to his ways, according to his doings, his deeds, good or evil." Maybe you were able to see yourself in Tommy's place this morning. And a lot of those things that God was chiseling on him about, he needs to chisel on you and out of you. Are you willing to get on the potter's wheel? Are you willing to let him take what's marred and messed up in your life and reshape it, remake it? Are you willing to change? Are you willing to change? The altar here this morning is the potter's wheel. Are you willing to place yourself on it and let Him shape and reshape and remake? Or you just want to stay where you're at and let Him start to chisel and chisel and chisel? I believe the potter's wheel is a lot less painful than the chisel. I want everyone to, if you were coming, come, and you're willing to come, come put yourself on the potter's wheel, but make sure you're willing. Bow your heads and close your eyes, please, everyone. I, the Lord, search the heart, and I test the mind. Even to every man according to his ways. What is it He needs to chisel this morning out of you? Maybe you, even if you're sitting in your seat or you're at the altar, it doesn't matter. What does He need to chisel out of you? Is it anger? Is it fear? Is it lust? Is it unforgiveness? Is it comparing yourself to everyone but Him? Is it spiritual laziness? Is it a secret sin? Is it a wound that you won't let go of? What is it that He wants to remove from your life right now, right here? If you're willing, pray this prayer and pray it like you mean it. Dear God, I need change in my life. I'm willing to allow You to make that change. I say to you today, do whatever it takes to make the change. Father, I pray that each and every one of us would place ourselves in Your hands. That we'd be willing to change, willing to allow You to make the change in us, to take out anything that's not of You, to take out anything that You don't desire for our lives. And God, for those that maybe think life is meaningless and hopeless, I pray, Lord, that they would allow You to touch them, to begin to shape them, and they would trust You to do what You need to do to remake, restore, regenerate their lives. God, help us to be willing to change, not just today, but every day. In every way that you ask us to change. By your Holy Spirit, by your word, by your presence. We allow you to make that change. We commit that to you today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. My prayer is that we would all be willing to allow change in our life. And to allow the Lord to make those changes. Because He knows best. He knows how. He knows when. And He knows which way. We have to be willing. Amen.